Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to talk about the fact that now that Jupiter has entered the sign of Taurus, it will be with Uranus in a whole sign co-presence, eventually a conjunction by degree for the next year. And that's really special. The conjunctions of Uranus and Jupiter signal the beginning of a new cycle that is defined by some pretty benefic and exciting themes. We're going to today talk about what those Jupiter-Uranus themes are like, the timeline of the Jupiter-Uranus transit over the next year, and we're going to also talk about some of the previous Jupiter-Uranus conjunction periods so that you can look back in time and see how they have played out for you. So a lot to get to today, and I'm really excited because to me, you know, Jupiter-Uranus periods, when they're co-present, coincide with some of the most exciting and like uplifting astrology that we have to talk about when it comes to the slower moving planets and their combinations. So I think this is a great one for us to take into the weekend here. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments in the comment section and tell us your own thoughts and stories. If you have a story to share at any point in time, use the hashtag grabbed or email us your story, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. We'd really like to hear from you guys. And you can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. And right now, just a reminder that our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on June 11th. You can go to the courses page, click on the first year course to learn more about it. Scroll down, you'll see everything that's included in the program, 30 live webinars on the year. You can follow along remotely and download the recordings. If you can't make it live, take it at your own pace. Everything is available on our website, so you can do the class entirely remotely at your own pace or participate live. We also have tutors in a group forum discussion that are available all year, and we also have breakout study sessions in between major units of study so that you can get some backup help if you need it. At the bottom of the page, you will find the payment options. So we have a early bird payment that saves you $500 off. We have a payment plan that you can use to spread the tuition out over 12 months. And we also have need-based tuition assistance. If you want to take the program, but you're struggling financially or you're on a tight budget and this is outside of your price point, we want to make sure that nobody's priced out of studying something like astrology because we believe it's sacred and should not be meant for only, you know, people who have one type of income or financial situation. So if you need a little help, use that. We'd be glad to work with you. And hope to see some of you in class starting soon. It's coming up. All right. So today we are going to be looking at the Jupiter-Uranus in Taurus timeline to start with. Let's go ahead and I'm going to open up the real-time clock and let's take a look at this configuration. So I've just eliminated everything but Jupiter and Uranus so that you can see that they are traveling together at the moment. Now, this, of course, just began here in the month of May, and let's take this forward and watch how the transit evolves over the course of the next year. So when a planet like Jupiter is in the same sign as Uranus, you notice that they're both turning retrograde around the end of the summer. So Uranus right around the end of August, beginning of September, and then Jupiter retrograde right around the beginning of September as well. When planets are in the same sign, but not yet conjoined by degree. They are called, in ancient astrology, they're called co-present. It's like two people that are in the same temple or the same house. So because they're in the same space, that space in your chart, let's say it's the eighth house or the seventh house or the first house or something like that, will be impacted by the combination of those two planets, even if they are not conjoined by degree. It's as though the conjunction is already affecting the whole sign house and its topics by virtue of the fact that those two planets are present in the sign at the same time. So from the whole sign house perspective, in other words, Jupiter and Uranus are going to be acting as though conjoined well before they join by degree. So you can start looking at that whole sign house of Taurus in your birth chart and applying all of the archetypal combinations that we are going to talk about today. We have five Jupiter-Uranus themes we're going to talk about. And you can start looking at those themes in terms of the topics of that whole sign house in your birth chart that Taurus occupies. Now, they're going to configure by degree. And so we have to ask, well, what's the difference between being co-present in the same sign, blending their significations together by whole sign co-presence, and then the actual moment of conjunction by degree? So when the planets get to within 3 degrees of an exact conjunction, ancient astrologers called this an engagement. And here you can see I've fast forwarded the clock, and we're in the early part of April 2024 when Jupiter comes to within about 3 degrees of Uranus. So at this time, they become active in an engagement, and the bodily union, or what we now call a conjunction, is about to occur. So let's watch how that happens in April. Their significations come together. Now, this is April 19th. Let's take it forward one day to April 20th. And then it crosses over by April 21st. So if we take this back to within the 3 degree range, let's get it to about exactly 3 degrees. Here we go. This is 3 degrees on April 3rd. And the conjunction then occurs. So that's April 3rd that it starts. The conjunction then occurs about April 20th, and then April 21st, you're starting to see them separate. And then let's give them 3 degrees of separation. And here we have that 3 degrees of separation by about May 7th. So that's almost a full month, really, when you think about it. You're close to a month where these two planets will be in engagement. So April to May of next year is the kind of like the grand finale of the fireworks show. If the two of them are co-present, it's like going to see fireworks on the 4th of July. You got a lot of interesting things to watch, and the show has begun. But when it gets to that engagement range, you're reaching the grand finale where the biggest and brightest, most spectacular display of fireworks are all going off. And that's the difference for ancient astrologers between a co-presence and a bodily union. The bodily union and that engagement range is like the grand finale. The co-presence, moving through the same sign but not yet joined, would be more like the show but not the peak of the show. So then Jupiter in Taurus will switch signs, and it does so right around May 26th. It might be May 25th, somewhere in there, the 25th to 26th of 2024. Jupiter is then in the sign of Gemini, and we have effectively begun a new season. And so we have, if you think about it that way, we have from May of this year, 2023, to May of 2024 to enjoy the co-presence of Jupiter and Uranus, and then to, especially in the month of April and May, to enjoy the grand finale. Now, that grand finale is going to be the greatest intensification of the themes that we will visit today, all of which will be active throughout the entire year, peaking in April and May, just so that makes sense to everybody. Now, what I want to do before we go into those Jupiter-Uranus themes is to look back. Actually, you know what? I'm going to reverse this order. I just changed my mind. I can change my mind. It's my wife likes to say when our kids are getting stuck in something, you can change your mind. So, all right, let's look at five Jupiter-Uranus themes. Now, you're going to apply these to that whole sign house of Taurus in your birth chart and the topics of that house if you know them. And we'll be doing horoscopes on Jupiter-Uranus's co-presence down the road a little bit. So I'm not going to go into that today. But if you're like, well, I don't know, just stay tuned, because if you know your rising sign, in the next couple of weeks, I'll probably be doing a horoscope for Jupiter-Uranus. Now, these five themes we want to apply to the year ahead in that whole sign house of Taurus in our birth charts, or just generally, these themes will be active in your life. And if you don't know your chart well enough to follow, that's okay. You can just take these themes and notice that they'll be present in your life in general. Then what we're going to do after we go through these five themes is we're going to look back at the last couple of Jupiter-Uranus conjunction periods so that you can also go back in time and get a feel for what those previous periods were like. You could maybe look at your birth chart in those whole sign house areas to get a feel for what might have been happening. From there, you can then have more of a history of this transit kind of fresh in your body and mind to work with as Jupiter and Uranus are now co-present again. So let's get into the five Jupiter-Uranus themes. And I want to also point you to one of my favorite books, The Archetypal Universe by Ren Butler. This is one of the books that I researched, took a couple of things from him today that I'm going to mention. And I always like to reference it if I use him. The other thing that I want to point you to is the fact that on July 2nd, right now, Becca Tarnas will be visiting us to give a whole talk on the Jupiter-Uranus archetypal combination and Jupiter-Uranus cycles and how they've showed up in the collective and how they tend to affect us psychologically. So the summer speaker series, if you go to my website, nightlightastrology.com, and go to the speaker series page, it should be up by the time this video is public. If you go there, look at the speaker series page, you can sign up for free for any of our summer speaker series. And Becca will be one of the speakers giving a talk on these themes. I have taken these themes very much from the world and writings and teachings of Richard Tarnas. Ren Butler, of course, comes out of that lineage as well. So these themes are ones that I remember reading about, you know, going back to Cosmos and Psyche. I remember reading that book, and I think it was like 2006 or seven or something like that. And if you've never read that book, that's another great place to look for more information about Jupiter-Uranus. There's a section in there that talks about Jupiter-Uranus periods and what kinds of archetypal themes they bring. So those are the references that really inform this talk today, the archetypal universe and cosmos and psyche. Anyway, and also in experiencing the transits of Jupiter and Uranus, their squares, their oppositions, and their conjunctions in my own life, in the lives of clients, in reading charts for people, and in looking back historically at the previous Jupiter-Uranus conjunction periods, I think that there are some really beautiful things that we can say about this combination. And it's a very special pairing in terms of being overtly one of the more positive, uplifting, exciting astrological transits. I feel like we often have to talk about the heavy, transformative, painful, necessary, but ultimately good, you know, work of Pluto or Saturn or what, you know. It's like Jupiter-Uranus is like subjectively one of the more exciting, positive, uplifting, kind of put a bounce in your step kinds of transits. So legitimate reason to be excited. And it's okay. Like not every transit in the world has to be like, all right, let's just shove your face in the impermanence of everything, you know? Anyway, number one, sudden, unexpected breakthroughs or awakenings. Now that may seem Uranian, that may sound like Uranus. But what makes it really positive is that Jupiter adds the idea of it being uplifting and beneficial. So you have that Uranian potential for something to happen, that sudden, disruptive, shocking, usually with a feeling of awakening involved, but it can be like the tower card in the tarot. It can bolt down and destroy things. You know, when you have Jupiter, the sudden unexpected lightning bolt has more of a positive, optimistic, beneficial, it has the feeling of like a lightning bolt of mercy, of blessing, of redemption, of faith, of hope, of success. And so, you know, where Uranus and Jupiter come together in the same sign, they're planting a seed and they're starting a new cycle. And how does it begin? By the sudden, rapid, developmental, positive blessings that come on sort of unexpectedly and like liberate, break up the mundane and the old and the usual and the habitual, but with a feeling or an aura of like positivity and like the rain coming in a drought. It just feels like, it's like relieving and unexpected and beneficial. I can't say it any other way. That is the, like, and that's why people love this transit. Genuinely, astrologers who know this transit on the archetypal level, you won't find them saying like, oh, you know, this is going to be like so hard or difficult. This is a transit that for many people depends on where it's landing on your chart, what it's touching on, you know, everything like that. It's contextual based on each one of us. But this is a transit that, I mean, when I tell you these previous periods, and I'm going to share, as I always do, my own detective work and what I found. These periods in my own life have been some of the most expansive, positive, unexpected, exciting periods that I've had. And so I think we have that to look forward to, the rapid, unexpected onset of expansion, growth, development, blessings, optimism, hope that come with this. Now that's going to peak, especially in April and May. Right when we get into that space where the actual bodies of the planets are coming together by degree. But it's in the air until then, growing. Number two is rapid development toward greater freedom, success, and innovation. So one of the things that happens is you'll get an idea, and the idea will grant greater freedom or flexibility or could make something more successful. And it represents some kind of innovation. And then what happens is the idea is rapidly developed and implemented, like very quickly. I'll never forget there was a Jupiter-Uranus opposition. Now, oppositions will bring this same quality on, but they'll often bring it on because you've reached the kind of full moon crisis of a cycle in your life. And so expansion and rapid development and innovation moving toward greater freedom is coming because of like a crisis or a tension that's reaching a breaking point. That's like the opposition tends to be like that. This is a conjunction. So it's in a sense, it's much easier. But when that happened, the place that we had our yoga studio located in the DC metro area, they were putting in a parking lot directly next door to our yoga studio. And they were like using dynamite and like blowing things up. And it was like the world's least peaceful environment all of a sudden. And so we suddenly found ourselves in the crisis of having to relocate. And the place we found happened to find for the same basic amount of rent was about twice as big. And so suddenly we were faced with the need to expand and grow, which was positive, but it was coming under the stress of the opposition in this really intense situation with a parking garage going up. That was a Jupiter-Uranus opposition. I'll tell you more about the conjunctions in my own history going back, but conjunctions are a bit more like the seeding or starting point. And so it's not like what's happening is being born out of, the crisis or drama of a square or an opposition. There's a smoother feeling of like a new era, a new beginning, and everything feels kind of young and more hopeful and in a sense sort of innocent and exciting. And that idea, that seeding idea that appears with Jupiter and Uranus will develop very rapidly and very quickly. Now, it may take a long time to like fully develop and mature and things like that. This is the start of a cycle after all, but you will be surprised at how quickly things will take off, especially things that come into your life and offer the promise of greater flexibility, freedom, happiness, openness, more of yourself coming forward somehow. And usually there's also associated with it the need to innovate or think outside of the box. But the Uranian piece should be familiar, but it's the rapid success and kind of enthusiasm and like, oh my God, this is going to work, right? That is so Jupiterian. Number three is hope, optimism, and experimentation. Now, these are all similar themes, right? But there's a few little nuances I want to riff off from. So in general, these eras and any kind of Jupiter transit will be defined by opportunity. But opportunity has to be taken advantage of, right? Like they say, good luck is nothing more than when preparation meets opportunity. This transit is a little bit like that. In terms of like, amazing, miraculous things are not always going to just like land on your doorstep and surprise you and you have to do nothing. There will be a feeling in the air of hope and optimism, but also the need to take risks, to take opportunities. And I use the word experimentation, but it could be risk-taking or it could be, putting yourself out there somehow or taking an opportunity or jumping at an opportunity, leaping at an opportunity. Some transits are very look before you leap. In some ways, Jupiter-Uranus is a little bit leap and then look. It truly is. There's an aura around this transit of hope, optimism, possibility, and opportunity. But it doesn't get us anywhere unless at some point we say, I'm going to experiment with something. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to try something. So different words to get at the same thing, but don't just sit on this period. In other words, you have to do something with it. The good feelings are amazing. And sometimes when the good feelings come around with Jupiter Uranus, it's almost like you don't think that you have to do anything because everything feels so good that you're the world is your oyster and you kind of feel like everything's just going to fall into place. And sometimes it will, but a lot of the times it's because we take some risks and we have to put ourselves out there, take advantage of opportunities. Even if we don't feel totally ready, Jupiter-Uranus somehow likes that. It says, you're not ready. Who cares? Do it. I don't always give that advice, as you guys know on this channel, but every archetype is different. Too good to be true, overpromising and underdelivering. Now, this is the flip side. Sometimes this transit will hold out an ideal image of what something could be, and you have to be ready for the possibility that it will be something good, but it may not be everything that you hope for. It's sort of like, I remember that period where we expanded the yoga studio. You know, that was, we had so many dreams and hopes and wishes that were coming with that. And a lot of them came true, but not all of them. Some of them were a little far-fetched, and we figured that out, you know, in time. There's a kind of feverish optimism, a gold rush that comes in with Jupiter Uranus. And the things that we desire, that we find attractive and compelling, this is a Venus-ruled sign, some of them will become concrete realities and sometimes very quickly and unexpectedly. But because there's such an ease and a smoothness, it's like taking flight, it's like growing wings and becoming like a Pegasus or something. And all of a sudden you feel sort of invincible. But you know, I'm sure in myths and fairy tales, like the Pegasus probably has natural enemies, you know what I mean? So you have to be careful not to get intoxicated with the sense of being immortal and of, you know, you can fly too close to the sun and burn your wings and come flying back down. And so you have to be, this is not the kind of things where you don't want to clip someone's wings or clip your own wings. That would be equally unfortunate. It would be an equally bad thing to do under this transit, but you also have to be careful not to fly too high, or at least to be okay with the fact that if you fly too high, you know, you aim too high, like you're not going to achieve every last thing that you think you will. But isn't that how it is? It's like, I don't know. It's, you know, I think back to, you know, when like my wife and I were dating, you know, and like when you're so in love and you're just in the fever of, you know, like puppy love or whatever, you're just like, oh my God, you're intoxicated, and you dream what your life will be and what you'll do. And like a lot of that stuff, if you're actually in love and you have a great relationship, like I'm thinking about my wife and I, like a lot of stuff that we dreamed about, we've done, you know, we've made a business together and had kids. And like, you know, it's like a lot of that has been, and it's been amazing. And there's some things that we dreamed about that like, yeah, we just didn't have the bandwidth for, we couldn't pull it all off, you know? And that's fine. That's normal. That's healthy. That's natural. You have to keep that in mind under this transit, because people will sometimes quit on themselves or throw away opportunities if they can only get 8 out of the 10 things and not 10 out of the 10. It's a weird transit in that sometimes people get a little all or nothing with it. All right. And then 5 would be the sort of manic, ungrounded enthusiasm. I don't mean that in any clinical sense. I just kind of mean the mania and an ungrounded enthusiasm that comes with this can be problematic in terms of becoming self-righteous, or, you know, thinking you're invincible, or potentially having some kind of unhealthy view of the way things are that's fueled by overconfidence or something like that. You want to, again, I think the far greater danger with this transit would be clipping your wings, sitting on your hands and not doing anything, not taking opportunities, not taking risks, not following the urge to do something out of the box. I think that's a far greater danger. Like I hate it, for example, when people talk about Neptune transits and the first thing they say is, don't go getting caught in an illusion or something. It's like, you know, yeah, that can happen, but I am far more concerned about people not having an imagination and not taking advantage of the timeless, subtle, imaginative, romantic dimensions of Neptune than I am people, you know, somehow falling asleep at the wheel and, you know, getting caught up in an illusion. Like it does happen with Neptune, but I think far more regularly, people don't recognize the benefits and blessings of Neptune and how to engage with them, right? The same thing is true for Jupiter Uranus. Yes, you can get ungrounded and you can get into the overpromising and underdelivering, or, you know, kind of self-righteous, aggrandized, all or nothing thinking, or manic, ungrounded enthusiasm. Those are dangers. But far more dangerous would it be, in my opinion, with this to not follow your heart, take flight, and do that experimental, you know, create the renaissance in your life, the rebirthing of Jupiter Uranus. I think it's far more dangerous that people feel the nice feelings and do nothing about them. Do you know what I mean? This is an opportunity, this transit, to participate in great rebirths and awakenings and experimental, innovative, revolutionary activities with a spirit of hope that can move your life along and help you evolve and grow. So that, to me, I hope that we heed that calling while Jupiter and Uranus are together. Now, as promised, let's go back to the previous Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions and take a look at what they have offered us. I'm going to put the real-time clock back up, and I'm going to tell you what I found in doing this research, only so that it can stimulate you to do your own kind of research. So we're going to go back in time, and we're going to find their last conjunction. Whoops, I'm going by months, and I need to go by years. So here is their last conjunction. We're going to see them coming together in the sign of Pisces, starting in January of 2010. Now, we're going to watch as they kind of move through Pisces together. And this is all the way through the spring of 2010. And then they conjoin actually in the early degrees of Aries. So for the last conjunction, you're actually looking at the whole sign house of Pisces and Aries. Pisces and Aries. Because after they conjoin in Aries, they both turn retrograde. And they both go back into Pisces, where their second conjunction through retrograde occurs in the late degrees of Pisces in September of 2010. It then comes back one more time and conjoins in January of 2011. And like that. Okay, so for me, as a Taurus rising, let me show you how that falls into place. Okay, so that as a Taurus rising, and I'm just using this as an example because this is what you guys should do. Apply it to the whole sign houses of Pisces and Aries and look at what was happening. So when the two of them, and I'm going to go back in, well, so I'll just spell it out like more generally. So the 11th house dynamics coincided with me launching Nightlight Astrology, and more specifically, a meetup group in Manhattan that was devoted to, I facilitated a meetup slash study group that was donation-based, which would become my school in several years, my astrology school, at the same time that I was launching my astrology business. So I launched an astrology community and my astrology business with Jupiter-Uranus in the 11th house. Nightlight literally got started with that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. It went into the 12th house. And as it went into the 12th house, I was engaged to be married to a person who I still think of as a wonderful friend and really wonderful soul. But that relationship wasn't working out. And so as Jupiter-Uranus conjoined in my 12th house, I realized that it was time to end the relationship, which was a very difficult 12th house-like event, but ultimately one that was very liberating. In the final conjunction of Jupiter-Uranus that went back into the 11th house, I met Ashley, my wife, who I would start working with in the context of a yoga community and retreat and a community gathering space that would eventually lead to us dating and then starting our own yoga studio and getting married. So those were some pretty powerful conjunctions in my birth chart, right? You go back. So look at 2010 and 2011. You could rewind the video and look at the timeline again if you need it repeated. But let's go back in time. Here's the next one. This one took place as Jupiter entered Aquarius in the winter of 1997. And then Jupiter Uranus were co-present all the way. This is through the fall of 1997. And then they finally separate when Jupiter enters Pisces in February of 1998. So we're talking about winter of 97 to winter of 98. Now, again, I'm going to show you how this showed up in my chart and what was going on. So that conjunction fell into my 10th house. Now, I was in high school. So this was not like something, I didn't have a career yet, right? But something that was interesting that happened at that time was that I got more intensely involved in a large statewide church youth group committee. It was like youth as leaders of various programs for other youth, like a peer leadership group that I got really involved in. Through my involvement in that group and community, I became really interested in theology and philosophy. And so I was getting really involved in like these state Christian youth councils and starting to get really interested in philosophy and theology. And that was the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus and Aquarius in my 10th house. So a lot of like group and leadership kinds of things and programs and communities that I was getting involved in, as well as starting to develop an interest in theology and philosophy and world religions in general. So really interesting developmental periods. Now let's go back in time again. So do that for yourself and look at the whole sign house of Aquarius during that 97 to 98 period. Let's go back yet again. Now, let me just back this up a little bit. Whoops, here we go. So here is Jupiter in Sagittarius, and this is in 1982. Now, for me, I was too young to have any like meaningful things to say around this time because I was just a year old into like 2 years old. So I don't have any memories that I can remember. But for those of you out there who are a little bit older than me, I was born in 81. For those of you out there a little bit older, this transit came through between December of 83, and the conjunction would have come through a few times during 83. And then the final passage moves on to Capricorn by January of 84. So you can do like that and look at the whole sign house of Sagittarius. And you can keep going back in time to see how those previous alignments worked out. And the point for me in doing that, the thing that was really interesting was in noticing what happened during those periods, sudden unexpected breakthroughs or awakenings. For example, when I was in high school, I would say that the thing that happened to me that was really profound was I started realizing how deeply I was interested in and fascinated by religion, theology, philosophy, and so forth. In the next period in my life, you know, the sudden unexpected breakthrough happened when I got out of a relationship where I was engaged to be married and also started Nightlight and started a community centered around astrological learning. Those were, you know, major periods of unexpected breakthroughs, rapid developments. And, you know, there was a spirit in the air, you know, in that last Jupiter Uranus period that was filled with hope, optimism, and experimentation that led me you know, in and out of a relationship, and into a new community where I met my wife, starting my own astrological community. There was, that was a very expansive period. I had a little bit in the 12th house, so some of it was not totally easy, but it was still very expansive, but 12th, a little 12th housey with the breakup I went through. But, I highly recommend. And also I will say that, you know, during those periods, you know, there was some ungrounded like enthusiasm too. It was like totally a part of those periods of my life. And I look at it and I think, oh, it's just kind of sweet though. You know, it's like, it's just part of the territory. It's like spring fever or something. So anyway, I hope this was useful for you, that you have some good takeaways and that, you know, just what I like to do is share a few stories in the exercise so that you can, you know, just get into that mode of remembering. Hopefully you can apply by whole sign house. Now we're going to do some horoscopes where I help you, you know, guide you with that a little bit more. And during those horoscopes, I'll bring up those previous periods as well. Anyway, that's it for today. I hope you guys are having a good one and that this gave you some useful things to think about as we go into the weekend. And we will see you again next week. Bye, everyone.